Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, replacing old windows for smoother operation and home comfort. More at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, March 31st. I'm Abby Larico. There's about a week left in what has been a combative general election campaign between St. Louis's incumbent mayor, Tashara Jones.
My support doesn't come from the top 1%, and it never has.
Right.
I didn't get an elected office to help them.
And her challenger, Alderwoman Kara Spencer.
They are not getting anything specifically out of return for that, and I really resent that accusation.
Breaking down the race with STLPR's Rachel Littman, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Six additional early voting locations open today in St. Louis County. Voters can cast their ballots ahead of the April 8th election, no excuse needed, at several St. Louis County locations, including the North County Recreation Complex, Mid-County Branch Library, and Grantsview Branch Library. Locations will be open for early voting every day but Sunday until Tuesday's election day. For more information about what's on the ballot, check out our voter's guide at stlpr.org. The Missouri House will spend the bulk of its time this week advancing its lone constitutional obligation, the state budget. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports the House will pass its version of the state budget, sending it to the Senate on Thursday.
House Speaker John Patterson says the House's version of the budget is a little under $49 billion. Members will debate that budget Tuesday, which includes adding amendments, and that will likely include amendments to education. Democratic Representative Betsy Fogel said one of the biggest frustrations this year is public school funding.
Fully funding public education is one of the most important things we do in this body and will leave a lasting legacy for all children back home.
Fogel said another disappointment was the House removing federal dollars for child care that Governor Mike Kehoe's office proposed. Once the budget passes the House, it will then go to the Senate. Similar to prior sessions, the Senate is likely to put more money into the budget. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
A former employee is alleging the St. Louis County Health Director instructed her to lie in response to a Sunshine Law request. Rhonda Bellix has filed a lawsuit against Dr. Kanika Cunningham and the county in St. Louis County Circuit Court. Bellix says she made an internal complaint against Cunningham in September after being asked to deny the existence of a program to euthanize animals at the county shelter. The suit alleges that the next day, Cunningham searched Bellix's car as a security guard and employees watched. A document detailing the euthanasia proposal came to light last month, though Cunningham has said she rejected it immediately. Bellix later resigned after 15 years on the job. She's asking the court to grant her an unspecified amount of damages. Abortions have resumed at the St. Louis Planned Parenthood Clinic in the Central West End for the first time in 3 years. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports, the clinic is not offering all forms of the procedure.
Officials at Planned Parenthood Great Rivers say they still can't provide medication-assisted abortions after the state rejected the clinic's complication plan. The plan outlines procedures the clinic will take if a medication abortion patient has an emergency. The Department of Health and Senior Services rejected the plan for not being sufficiently detailed. Planned Parenthood Interim Chief Medical Officer Margaret Baum says she doesn't have to submit such plans to the state for any other medical procedure.
This is an artificial requirement that has been set up, and it does not protect folks. It really inhibits access.
Baum says the clinic is working with lawyers to plan how to appeal the rejection. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
Tech STL's annual Tech Week kicks off this morning, beginning a week of showcasing local companies and talent. More than 30 free events focus on innovation sectors, including artificial intelligence, ag tech, and geospatial. Emily Hemingway is Tech STL's executive director. She says this year's Tech Week has many more out-of-town attendees and presenters than in its first 2 years.
Tech Week definitely grew up this year. It's now a more legitimate brand. We have more reputable presenters on the agenda, and so we're seeing a direct impact in having more folks come into St. Louis from out of town.
Hemingway says about 30% of event registrations this year are people from outside the region, compared to 20% last year. She says this strengthens local tech firms and talent by connecting them with similar companies across the country and globe. St. Louis's Land Clearance Redevelopment Authority has formally purchased the vacant property directly south of the Railway Exchange Building. STLPR's Eric Schmid reports the city paid about $2.6 million for 10 parcels, including a surface lot and a vacant parking garage.
The city's land purchase is the first from an eminent domain case filed last year to seek control of the long vacant building and accompanying parking structure. St. Louis Development Corporation President and CEO Neil Richardson says the transaction means the city's building division can now demolish the derelict garage.
And the reason why we're taking immediate action on this site is because it's been left in such disarray that it's creating public harm. As a visitor coming into downtown St. Louis, imagine if this is the first impression you see of downtown.
Richardson says SLDC will solicit redevelopment plans in the next few months for both the Railway Exchange Building and the parcels to the south. He says it's an opportunity for more new mixed-use development in downtown St. Louis. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
A historic hotel in East St. Louis is now open as an apartment building, following more than $44 million in renovations. STLPR's Will Bauer reports city leaders are now looking for tenants.
The historic Broadview Hotel will now be known as the New Broadview. It's a 110-unit building for residents 55 and older. It was funded by a smorgasbord of public and private partnerships, largely with state grants and historic tax credits. East St. Louis Mayor Charles Powell III believes the new apartments will anchor more development in town.
As we continue to strengthen and build our city's economy, developments such as this will serve as a reminder to our citizens and those with business and those looking to open business that East St. Louis is always and will be a great place to live and work.
The tenants say a handful of residents have already moved in. In East St. Louis, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
A combative race for mayor of St. Louis is nearing the end. Voters will decide on April 8th whether to keep incumbent Tashara Jones in office or give 8th Ward Alderwoman Kara Spencer the keys to the city. I sat down with St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman to take stock of what's been an often bitter and personal campaign so far. Rachel, remind us how we got here.
Tashara Jones and Kara Spencer were the top two vote-getters in the March primary, so that set up a rematch of 2021. But this year, the landscape is a lot different. 4 years ago, Jones was the top vote-getter by 5,000 votes. This year, Spencer more than doubled up Jones' support in March.
How would you describe the message from these two women throughout the campaign?
Jones has consistently advocated for voters to give her a second chance to continue the work that she's been doing since 2021. And she made that point in a January appearance on the Politically Speaking podcast.
We have to make sure that we are enacting long-lasting, sustainable change. And oftentimes that takes more than 4 years.
She likes to highlight drops in crime. It is down overall 31% since 2022, and violent crime is down 13% between 2022 and 2024. And she also highlights the investments that she's made in North St. Louis using COVID relief and other funds. But in the last weeks of the election, she's really zeroed in on the hundreds of thousands of dollars that Spencer's Political Action Committee has received from developer Bob Clark and other business interests in the city. Here's the mayor on the primary election night speaking to her supporters at a union hall in Midtown.
My support doesn't come from the top 1%, and it never has.
Right.
I didn't get an elected office to help them. I did it for everyday people.
Now, Spencer, of course, rejects the idea that Bob Clark or any other business leaders are giving to her because she has promised them something. Here she is during a joint appearance with Jones on the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
When folks are investing in my campaign, they're investing in a new path for St. Louis. They are not getting anything specifically out of return for that, and I really resent that accusation.
And the message from Spencer from day one has been that the city is just not providing the basic needs. The most visible manifestation of this problem was that January snowstorm.
It was clear to me just a couple of days in that the response was inadequate. I think it was clear to most of us. And the failure to take urgent, immediate action was apparent to all of us.
Now, the mayor did admit the city's response was inadequate. But I think it's important to note that many municipalities and even the Missouri Department of Transportation struggled to respond to that storm.
What are the biggest issues that the next mayor will face?
The biggest one is navigating the transition back to state control of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. The mayor will have a seat at the table to set policy, but is going to be only one of five voices on that governing board. But really, more importantly than the policy aspect of this is the monetary aspect. That legislation, or that law now, sets escalating mandatory spending levels for the police department up to 25% of general revenue by 2028. And it's likely without additional revenue, the city will have to make cuts to meet those thresholds. And all of this could require the mayor and the Board of Aldermen to rethink their priorities for the RAM settlement money. We asked the candidates about their priorities for that money during their joint appearance. Here was Spencer's answer.
My focus on RAMs would be downtown, housing in North St. Louis, and infrastructure throughout the city of St. Louis.
And here was how Jones responded.
Infrastructure, people, and small businesses.
Rachel, a quick refresher on what else people will see on their ballots.
City residents will also vote for comptroller and in the odd-numbered wards for the Board of Aldermen. There are 12 candidates on the ballot for three seats for the SLPS Board of Education. St. Louis and St. Charles counties have a large number of municipal government and school board races, and there's also a lot of local ballot measures.
That was St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman with the details ahead of the April 8th election. You can find all of our political coverage at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.